And on today's Windy City Queercast, Amy Ray. That's right. She's solo, folks, and she's one half of the Indigo Girls. Most people know her, but what a big solo career she has. And we sit down and we talk about that career and her art and what is new that she's trying to say on this new CD coming out very, very soon. Also, Richard Knight Jr. here with us, bringing us his movie Minute. And my partner, Kelly Simpkins, is back on the show. And we talk about, we're pretty wackadoo because it's late at night and our brains don't function because we're aging.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
See that girl over there? She's gonna give me the cold shoulder. She may be straight tonight, but last night she let me hold her. It took a little bit of faith and a lot of patience. I got all night long, no reservations. Gonna drive into Georgia and rock us right. I said the ring in the tree shows a long line of passion. From the cotton fields to the emancipation.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 230. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
Yes, you are. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, baby.
You haven't been on the podcast in a long time.
It's been, I think, since you were in Tennessee.
Yeah. Been a long time. Or it feels like a long time.
Feels like a long time.
It's not the end of the summer yet, really, is it?
It's not, although it feels like it's winding to a close, which
Doesn't
makes
it?
Me very sad.
I feel like we are to the end of July, and that's frightening.
Why is it frightening to you?
I don't know, because I like the summer so much, and it's been such a gorgeous summer in Chicago.
It's been really pretty. Maybe we should move to LA. Maybe that's what this is telling us.
Really?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't want to live in LA.
Really?
Do you want to live in LA?
I don't know. I think about the weather and the oceans and the mountain and...
Yeah?
Not just one mountain, the mountains.
The mountains.
I'm tired.
You are. I know, it's late night, and we just finished watching the opening season 2 episode of Mad Men, which mm-hmm. you and I really both love.
We do.
Yeah, and we just had the interview with Brian Batt last week on the show. And,
very exciting.
It's such a great show if people are not watching it. They set up this first episode, and I feel like a lot is going to happen this year. It's very subtle.
Weird,
it's almost more
weird...
subtle this year.
Yeah, it seems very subtle.
The sexism, the little lines like to the child of like, I want to ride a pony, and her going, no, don't you remember that little girl died in Gone with the Wind who rode the pony, you know? She says it with a smile on her face. Husband can't get his erection up. They're talking about how much they're smoking and drinking and what it's doing to their blood pressure, and it looks so romantic, this life they live, but I think, as Brian said, it's all going to start
crumbling underneath
them. It's all going to have its influences and its effects. Hey, we should say, just as a little teaser, on the next Queercast, Kelly's splitting time this week being on the show with me because Mitchell's back.
Woo!
Our mother-in-law is back. She's back from the Mediterranean.
Yes, indeed.
So the whole next show will be Mitchell's big gay tour of the Mediterranean, and we're going to hear about the cruise ship and all the fabulous things that he experienced and all the places that he visited.
And all the cruising that he did on
And all the cruising he did on the cruise ship. Have you been anywhere? You've never been anywhere, right? Like me. Like, I've never been to Europe.
No, I've never been to Europe. It's shameful, really. I'm embarrassed to say it out loud.
We should just leave our lives, abandon our lives, and go travel.
Somewhere sunny.
Somewhere sunny?
Will you fund it?
No. Who's going to fund it?
That's the big
Maybe
question.
Maybe Bud Light would fund it. Or American Airlines. They could fly us anywhere we'd want to be.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. I'd do a little show. I mean, Mitchell was doing a little
Real
skit.
Women of Genius.
That's right. You and I can. Real Women of Genius. Here's to you, Miss Mediterranean Cruise Ship.
Never been on European Vacation Lady?
Never been on European Vacation Lady.
You sit naked in a lawn chair in Spain.
Ouch! Woo! It burns my cheeks. We're creating it right here.
It's they should good. Listen in. This they is a great one. This is sell more beer than peanuts, salty popcorn.
That's right. So Mitchell's back. The whole next show will take us a little bit on a
badminton play.
Badminton.
I don't know why.
No, it was bad.
I know it was badminton.
We're doing the ad like Mad Men. We've been watching people create ad campaigns. I think you and I could do it. I think you would come up with like the jingle, and I'd come up with the idea. Because you can write these songs on command. I was telling somebody the other day about this.
Yeah.
They were impressed.
I don't know how impressive it is.
I'm telling you, you could make millions.
Really?
Yeah,
right. Why haven't where do I tap that big?
I don't know. You need
fortune.
To go get an ad company to hire you just to be your goofy singing self.
Wow. Where do I go? Downtown?
I don't know. Go down to the corner, see? And you knock
We're
on the door.
We're down to Michigan Lake, see? And
knock on the door.
Knock on the door of Ibby and Stibby and Sly. Amy, I'm so tired. I just rubbed this on my jeans and it's blue.
You did. Stop doing that. It's a rock.
I know.
So, today on our show, it's pretty exciting because we have Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls launching her next solo album.
Closer We Are to Fine.
Closer We Are to Fine. That's probably the first song that most people knew of the Indigo Girls.
The first concert I ever saw in New York City.
Was it?
Uh-huh.
How was it?
It was fantastic.
Were you out?
Not a chance.
Yeah. How old were you?
21.
Okay. Yeah. I probably saw the same tour. Was it the Closer I Am to Fine tour?
I can't remember what it was called, but I loved it.
Yeah. I remember going.
And I was with a woman that I did canvassing for
You did canvassing?
I did door-to-door canvassing. That was like my third job. I canvassed for a law center about like clean water. It was a clean water canvassing, and I made more money than anyone. But I went with a woman who had a deep, dark, lonely crush on.
You did?
I did.
Oh, what was her name?
Tamsin.
Tamsin?
Yes.
That's her first name?
Yes.
Tamsin.
Are you listening?
It's not so deep and dark anymore. It's
no,
out there.
No, we were actually very good friends, and she was very cute, but I had some interesting feelings that I didn't really understand.
Yeah. I remember going to see the Indigo Girls in Memphis with my college roommate, Lisa, who was very sweet and conservative and clueless into the ways of my homosexuality, as was I think, at this point. I think I saw them in 89 or 90. Strange Fire had come out, and their new CD was their new cassette, I guess it would have been, was out, which Closer I Am to Find. And
this was 91.
Yeah, maybe that was the tour. I don't know. 90, 91 was when I probably went. So I wasn't out yet, but I remember going to the Orpheum Theater in Memphis to hear them. I think it was the Orpheum. And I went with a bunch of my friends who were sorority girls and college girls. And I remember one of them saying, "Wow, there's a lot of like dyke women here." And I remember turning to one of them, and I wasn't even
Fucking
out.
Dykes.
And I remember turning to one of them and going, "Who do you think you're coming to hear?" You know? And
was your voice all shrilly like that when you
probably.
Said it?
Probably. And I clutched my pearls
Ooh.
With a bow on top of my hair.
Mm.
Yeah. that was the look in my sorority
that sounds
shirt.
Really hot.
It wasn't. But I
was being sarcastic.
But I had a moment of self-identification with the other women, and yet it was a bit of a fishbowl thing that I was on the wrong side kind of looking out, you know? It was very strange. I remember that very, very, I remember that so strongly, of that moment when it was about the fact that, you know, the reference made to the lesbians and feeling like, I believe they're kind of talking to my people. And
my people, my people.
My people, my people. But I do remember sitting in the hallway and singing Closer I Am to Fine in college in my dormitory, leaned up against the, you know, bad concrete brick walls and all the girls smoking cigarettes in the hallway, because that's where you could smoke. You could smoke in the hallway. You can't even probably smoke near a dormitory now. I have no idea.
Sure, that's true.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. So Amy Ray's on. She's got a brand new CD. This is a really great CD, and all the music you're hearing in today's show is from the new solo album by Amy Ray. And I have to tell you, there's some sounds on this CD that are not that are a new voicing for her, which I think is really, really cool. And we talk about that. And she's just so lovely. This is the second or third time I've interviewed her solo, and I just really think she's such a true artist and such a great spirit for independent musicians with her label and you know, be able to have that relationship with Emily Sellers for that long as well. That it's somebody that you can create with for, you know, a couple of decades, but you know, Emily really supports her solo work, so that's really so great. And everybody has, I think, male or female, have connections to a number of their songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Land of Canaan and Closer I Am to Fine are probably the songs you and I know. Galileo.
That's a good one.
Would be a song, I think, that a few years younger than us.
They did the, I remember their encore song was the Dire Straits song. Wasn't it Dire Straits who did Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, I don't know, but I knew the Romeo and Juliet song.
Did Dire Straits do that originally?
I have no idea.
Anyway, and she was the, of course, the husky voice.
Yeah.
Singing the...
Yeah.
And I... There was tingly going on. There was tingly going on when she did that. And I was like, wow, that's pretty sexy.
You've always had tingly for women named Amy.
Not always.
Not always. Hey, we are...
No, I didn't mean that about you. I just meant not always for Amy's.
I'm with you.
Okay, thank you.
I know. I know you're always tingly for me.
Always.
Always.
Miss a tingly Nova Scotia lady.
Nova Scotia lady.
I'm doing our...
I understand what you're doing.
Our tour of Bud Light going overseas. Nova Scotia's up in Canada. Oh, Lord. Di, bleep this out. I don't want to sound like a geograph. Oh, Di, please. Boop. Take it
that
out.
That is so not getting
edited
out.
Yes, it is.
So Nova not
Scotia.
Getting
I know
edited.
Where it is.
It's not getting Pema edited
Chodron
out. Pema
Chodron lives in Nova Scotia. I know it's not... I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay. It's okay. It's very cute.
No, it's not cute. I know places in the world. I know things.
I ain't been nowhere, but I know things.
There was a film with Rob Lowe, and Rob Lowe played a mentally challenged, very handsome, mentally challenged young man, and he would just continue saying, I know things. He had, like, overalls on, and he was like, a haze. Wow, I feel doped up. He was a hayseed kind of guy, and he would just go, I know things.
I can't even see Rob Lowe doing that.
Yeah, I can't remember who else was in it, but my sister and I used to say that all. I feel like I've come alive on the podcast.
I'm on the podcast.
I'm so sorry.
You're delirious, and it's
I really
okay.
am tired.
People should know that Kelly's starring in a show right now at the Steppenwolf Garage, and it's a lesbian play.
It is. Come out
You're
and
playing
see it.
A big old lesbian leading character
mm-hmm.
who's a lawyer.
A lawyer.
A lawyer.
A lawyer.
And, contemporary play, contemporary romantic comedy, where the main character is a lesbian. And I think that's awesome.
It is awesome.
That our friend Sarah Gubbins wrote, who's a openly lesbian writer here and graduate now of Northwestern. And it's a pretty big deal that there's a play about lesbians that's not really about... It's no big deal that your character's a lesbian, which I just love.
Which is great. It's yeah. the beauty of the play. One of the beauties of the play.
Yeah, so if you're in the Chicagoland area and can get to the First Look series at Steppenwolf Garage, go see Kelly in Fair Use.
Fair Use.
Because it's fantastic.
Awesome.
It's
yeah,
fantastic.
Come and support it, please.
And I just wanted to have a little moment because Randy Pausch died on Friday, just a couple of days ago, a few days ago. And for many people may know, Randy was he was a professor who did a last lecture
at Carnegie Mellon. Is that where he was?
I don't remember, but maybe. And he did a farewell lecture or a last lecture that became kind of this. I don't know if it was like a last lecture for his children because mm-hmm. he was only 47. And he became terminally ill, and he has young children, and he was a professor. And so he did this last lecture kind of on life and how life's to be lived. And it became this very powerful internet piece that many people had seen, and he was appeared on Oprah. And
they made it into a book, right?
And they made it into a book. And all of that happened before he passed away of pancreatic cancer, which he just passed away a few days ago. So... definitely want to say that, you know, in the last year of his life, he did so much and spread such a beautiful message. And we're going to break right now and tell you what else is going on in the news, plus Richard Knight Jr. with a movie review, and then Amy Ray on the show. It's just a big fat show. There's just so much going on. And there was another passing you will hear in the news as well that is... of significance, I think, to the GLBT community. So, Kirk Williamson and I are going to take you to the news.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Every year you make staggering advances in technology, like air. More air, slightly less air, and a separate air chamber for maximum air.
She's gonna blow!
Good ball handling skills, sound fundamentals, a killer outside shot. All completely useless unless we're wearing your sneakers.
I got a 2-inch vertical.
They're designed to last for a decade, which is just about the time we'll have them paid off.
I'm living in my van.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, old Sultan of the sneaker. We may never make a layup, but your shoes will always be a slam dunk.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Bud Light beer at Isaac St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. A hearing on the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy was held for the first time since it was enacted 15 years ago on Wednesday, July 23rd. During the hearing, lawmakers were told to end the ban against gays and lesbians serving openly. Among those calling for an end to the ban were former Marine and Purple Heart recipient Eric Alva, retired U.S. Army Major General Vance Coleman, and retired U.S. Navy Captain Joan Dara.
Conservative radio host Michael Savage was dropped from Mississippi Network for a recent comment Savage made on his show, Savage Nation, about autistic children. Supertalk Network, a network of several stations in Mississippi, called his comments beyond excusable. Savage has ruffled many feathers over the years for his defamatory comments about a number of subjects, including the GLBT community.
A transgender woman who used to work for the state of Georgia filed a federal lawsuit for wrongful termination. Vandy Beth Glenn said she was fired from her job as a legislative editor because she came to work dressed as a woman and told her boss she was going to transition. Legislative Counsel Sewell Brumby, House Speaker Glenn Richardson, Senate President Eric Johnson, and Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle are among those named in the lawsuit.
A Greek court dismissed a lawsuit filed by locals who wanted to ban the word lesbian. Residents of the island of Lesbos wanted to prohibit a gay organization from using the word to describe gay women. Those who filed the suit said the use of the word was insulting to Lesbos residents. Lesbos is known as the birthplace of the poet Sappho.
Actress Estelle Getty, famous for her role as Sophia on the NBC comedy The Golden Girls, has passed away at the age of 84. Getty died in her Hollywood Boulevard home. She had been suffering from dementia. Golden Girls co-star Bea Arthur said in a statement, "Our mother-daughter relationship was one of the greatest comic duos ever, and I will miss her."
We will, too. Grey's Anatomy creator Shonda Rhimes confirmed a lesbian relationship on the show. Rhimes confirmed with reporters of a potential lesbian romance continuing between Dr. Kelly Torres and Dr. Erica Hahn, played by Sarah Ramirez and Brooke Smith. Rhimes said she is pretty excited about the story of Kelly and Erica, but wouldn't reveal any plot specifics. Rhimes consulted with GLAAD, as well as openly gay producers Nikki Weiss and Trish Doolin, for the Kelly-Erica story.
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Parvez Sharma's A Jihad for Love is a revealing documentary about gay Muslims. Two words used to signify personal identity that would seem as compatible as oil and water. Nevertheless, as Sharma's film vividly demonstrates, these two warring dichotomies often coexist in people whose religion and sexuality are immovable. The movie, which draws on footage shot in Iran, Paris, Turkey, South Africa, and Canada, is as compelling in its way as For the Bible Tells Me So, Daniel Karslake's film, which presented first-person stories of gay men and women from evangelical families. Never mind the emotional consequences of coming out. This is a religion where revealing your gay sexuality can literally mean death. Sharma points this out as the film moves from country to country, tracking down random gay Muslims brave enough to face such wrath. Many who have fled from their homes to more tolerant countries. We are presented with their stories, a virtual catalog of human indignity suffered by gays for centuries. Like other repressed gays, the plea for tolerance resonates, as does the bravery of the individuals profiled. Arsham, one of four gay Muslims living in Turkey after fleeing Iran and awaiting word on whether he'll be allowed to emigrate to Canada, says with exasperation, "Why do they think the sky has to be the same color for everyone?" When he gets the okay, finally, to move to Canada, the moment is bittersweet at best. Arriving at his new home, far from his family, he says, "Today is my new birthday," with exhilaration. Then a moment later, he breaks down and cries out, "How can I be free when others cannot?" How indeed. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hometown Hellraiser Kathy Griffin returns to the Chicago Theater this fall. Her shows October 15th and 16th are sold out. So now, due to popular demand, a third show has been added October 14th. You won't want to miss this Emmy-winning comedian and star of My Life on the D-List. Kathy Griffin, tickets for the October 14th show go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. at all Ticketmaster outlets or at LiveNation.com. Don't wait.
The ultimate feel-good musical is back, and better than ever. Don't miss your chance to have the time of your life at Mamma Mia.
You can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life. Ooh, see that girl, watch that scene, bring in the dancing queen.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 28th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Now playing at Steppenwolf as part of the first look repertory of new work, Fair Use by Sarah Gubbins. A plagiarism case involving a famous author is the backdrop for this lesbian romantic comedy set in a high-powered law firm. A series of questionable love letters fuels this breezy cross-examination of modern dating and relationships. For tickets to Fair Use, go to steppenwolf.org.
Powerful movement, mesmerizing imagery, and naked people on scaffolding doing Shakespeare. Don't miss Unsex Me Here, a stripped-down one-hour production of Macbeth, features performers as living canvases, costumed in projected textures and unique lighting, and there's an audience participation. Fridays and Saturdays at 11 p.m. at National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Tickets are $15. Visit thelivingcanvas.com to reserve.
Come spend the night with the reigning queer queens of comedy, Poppy Champlin, Dana Eagle, and Julie Goldman, one night only, August 8th at 8 p.m. at the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway. A hilarious night of queer comedy, not just for the ladies, but the ladies will like it. For tickets, visit lakeshoretheater.com or queerqueensofcomedy.com.
For more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi, this is Sandra Bernhard, and you're listening to me on Windy City Queer Cast. Cast your net wide, and who knows what you'll come up with.
She's got to be with me always to make sense of the skin I'm in. Sometimes it gets dangerous, yeah, and only to defend. Marking time would ever change. It's so hard to love this woman and me.
She is the original independent. From her grassroots harmonies that birthed a generation of acoustic music with Emily Salyers as the Indigo Girls, to her exploration of punk and riot girl brash side with her first two solo albums, to her service to other artists through her record label, Damon, Amy Ray continues to pioneer new landscapes in music. As a singer-songwriter, she's fearless, raw, transparent, always challenging herself and her audience. And late this summer, she launches her third solo album, Didn't It Feel Kinder, which follows her previous efforts, Stag, from 2001 and 2004's Prom. And I'm so glad to have her on the Queercast. Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good.
I love meeting another Southern Amy. Especially when they're lesbian. That's, yeah, you know, that's like the whole, that's the triple crown right there for me. So you really don't slow down, do you? I mean, between work and touring with Emily and then helming these solo projects, do you ever take a break from writing? And what does time off look like to you?
Well, I'm taking a break from writing right now, actually.
Good.
We just finished another Indigo Girl record, so I'm just like, I think I'm tapped out. And I'm trying to just take things in and listen to everybody else's music. And you know what I mean? It's like there's a time for output and time for input. That's the way I look at it. So I'm inputting right now. But I take breaks. I mean, what my breaks look like are a lot of like hiking and nature, playing with animals, you know, and just sort of being outside. That's really what I do to chill out.
Well, and that's a great segue into how this new CD came about, because of where you recorded it and kind of the means around in some of maybe your downtime, some of the inspirations came to you about Didn't It Feel Kinder. Normally you produce yourself, and on this CD you brought in a producer, Greg Griffith. Talk to me about how that relationship happened and how Greg came to be a part of this CD.
Well, I wanted to work with a drummer that I had worked with, Melissa York from the Butchies, again for this third record. I wanted to bring her back in, and we're friends. And when I was talking to her, she was just like, "I really want you to work with Greg." And Greg had produced the Butchies and is a very good friend of Mel's, and they had grown up playing in punk bands together in New York. And he's now a producer and a bass player and a guitar player. So I just said, well, let's just get together and jam, you know, and see how it goes. And I fell in love with the way he plays and plays the bass, and his ideas were amazing. And I decided that I really needed to be challenged and stretch and have somebody in charge that had a vision, you know, that was different from mine in some ways and would kind of give me a different focus. And so I took the big leap, and I'm really glad. I mean, he's a really, really great musical mind, and it's just to work with someone like that, it's really special, and it teaches you a lot, and it kind of makes it worthwhile. I think self-production can be fun too, but after a while for me it's limiting, you know, because I want to, you know, have some other, you know, creativity in there and stuff. So it was great to work with him.
do you feel like he really continued to hold up a mirror as to objectively what you wanted to do with each song?
Yeah, he definitely held a mirror up and would challenge me, you know, and be like, well, you know, are you sure you want guitar in from the very top of that song? Don't you think you should maybe stay out and then come in the second verse? You know, just things that may not be, I don't know, they may not be my first inclination, but actually they're better. And it just, what it does is it just opens up your horizons and makes you look at things a little differently, because for me, I'm always collaborating with other bands on my solo work, but I'm sort of still in charge in some way, even if it's a collaboration. And I think I kind of put him in charge. And that forced me to, you know, work outside of my own little box.
Well, I want to read something that you wrote that came in some materials, because this CD, folks, you are going to enjoy it so much. I mean, there are just so many moving and sexy and songs that just seem like anthems. It's such a great CD. But I really thought this was great. And I'm going to read this whole little paragraph that you wrote in a letter. It said, in musical terms, I didn't even really know what I wanted this record to be. I knew I wanted it to be a wide open vista, the prairie at twilight, a mountain road at 3 a.m., a heartbreaking news broadcast. I wanted to use every voice I had inside me, every voice I had come across and absorbed. I didn't want to be limited by habit or insecurity or gender or place. Sometimes I sang a song right the first time, and some songs I sang over and over until I found the voice. I wrote tunes out of my range and kept them there because that was where they wanted to be. I let the songs control the experience. I mean, it sounds like you approached this CD with such courage and fearlessness, and almost that something else was guiding the process. And I don't mean Greg. I mean, do you know what I mean? I mean, this is, it's almost like you had a spiritual experience with this of, you know, no boundaries. I'm singing songs that maybe aren't even in my range, and willing to kind of go there. Are you at a certain point in your life where you just feel you don't have anything to prove anymore, or you really just want to expand yourself that much as an artist or as a woman, what do you think it is?
I don't know. It's not even about not having anything to prove. It's more like not really having much to lose.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't really, you know, I don't have, and I guess it is because I don't have a label, or there's no reason driving me to do anything on an ego level that to please somebody or something, you know. And I've kind of exhausted my own ability to produce myself in some ways, and I think I was just begging for something that would be a cathartic kind of wide open experience musically. And I really, I didn't want to limit myself, because I knew that when I had ever limited myself, it didn't feel good, you know, in the end. And I think I just was in a place where I didn't want fear to dictate anything that I was doing, you know. And I'm not sure why I was there. I think some of it has to do with working with Mel as a drummer. She's very sort of cathartic in that way, and spiritual in some ways, of not wanting to be closed off to any experience. And I think that working with her is like that. And I think anytime you give over power to somebody like Greg, giving over control to Greg, it's just like, you know, it's kind of like we used to say, you know, let go, let Greg, instead of let go, let God. That was kind of our joke in the studio. So, yeah, I think I felt like I made the first two couple solo records and worked on them myself and collaborated a lot, but also was kind of in control. And I just wanted a different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you also feel like just kind of what's happening, I mean, in the U.S., particularly with the upcoming election, and I mean, just where we are as a nation, where we are as a queer community with California passing the gay marriage. I mean, you know, you were kind of creating this whole album, I think, at our bubbling point, you know, when everything had kind of risen to the surface. Do you think, I mean, I think looking at all the songs and the topics, from conservative radio to the environment you know, some of your political issues, the Virginia Tech shootings, that all that bubbling to the surface it kind of seemed like Amy Ray said, okay, it's, we got to get all these boundaries out of the way, you know, that's dividing us and helping us, making us not talk about these things.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, the record's a lot about, you know, how do you break down boundaries? How do you have compassion beyond yourself, you know, beyond what you know, what you're comfortable with, compassion for something you're uncomfortable with? What does it mean to really, to have a certain longing for things to change or for some person that you miss or for a situation to go back to the way it used to be, you know, all these kind of ideas. And yeah, and I think I was writing in the midst of traveling a lot. I was on tour a lot when I was writing, and so I was constantly confronted with different situations. I was in the UK, I was in Australia, and I was in the States, and I was hearing a lot of different bands, so because people Emily and I were touring with who were influencing my writing and a lot of different ideas, and there definitely was a lot of news, and the war was just, you know, just interminable, but well, it still is, but
yeah.
The war with Iraq, and just so much stuff was going on that I felt, it's definitely kind of this desperation sort of coupled with a sense of freedom, because it can't get much worse kind of feeling, you know, although, you know, it can, but you know, as an American who's privileged, sometimes you have that feeling that it can't, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think all these things are going on. And then I think now it's like, wow, you know, we have this, when I look at what's going on right now, you know, this week, it's just like, we have this opportunity to really shift things and to really change the way history is going right now. And hopefully we will, you know.
You talk about longing, and I thought there was a very different and, might I say, sultry sound from you on She's Gotta Be. Are we starting to see a softer side of Amy Ray?
Well, I like soul, you know, I really like that kind of soulful music, and I was just playing around with singing in a higher voice, and yeah, that's definitely my softer side.
That's a hot number right there, I have to tell you.
Cool.
For a second, I was like, is that Amy? I mean, really? I mean, when you say you found a new voice, I kind of stopped in my car when I was listening to it. The red light going,
I'm still
Amy.
Looking for it, but that's a hint of it right there.
It's what?
That's a hint of it. I don't think I haven't completely found that voice, but definitely that's my first like prototype of searching for it.
Yeah. Well, keep searching. It's always good to have as many as you got. Do you think that being queer informs your music more and more each album, whether that be a solo album or an Indigo Girls album? Do you feel more free now expressing your sexual identity, even your gender identity in your songwriting?
I think I felt sort of more free, probably, you know, like I feel as free as I felt like maybe 8 years ago. Like I think there was a certain point when I started making solo records that sort of that is the point when I started feeling free, you know, and on a queer level and on a gender level, because I think with Indigo Girls, I didn't feel like closeted or anything, but I wasn't. There's something about when I hooked up with the Butchies and the whole kind of queer punk scene that I had been listening to, but I had not been participating in necessarily, that I found a different part of my voice that was a much clearer, sort of focused, queer voice in some ways, and more fearless. And because I wasn't worried about whether what I was expressing was going to, you know, is this something Emily's going to be able to say too? Is this, because, you know, we don't censor ourselves when we write, but we do think about the other person as a partner and how they would feel singing that song, you know?
Sure.
And so in some way, or I do anyway, I don't know if Emily does, but so I think in some ways when I write a solo song, I'm not thinking about that at all. So if I'm going to talk from a masculine perspective, it's going to be, you know, it's going to feel right. I don't have to worry whether Emily wants to talk from that perspective, because she might not, you know, but for me, I know whatever perspective I have is, if it's a singular thing, I can do it and I don't have to worry about that. And so in some ways, you know, the solo part frees me up a little bit, which is not to say that Emily limits me, but I limit myself probably when I'm within the Indigo Girls in some ways, because I want my, you know, what I say to be from almost from a duo perspective in some ways, because I respect it so much, you know.
Yeah.
And it has a different force behind it and something sort of magical that nothing can ever be greater than for me. But it's about harmony, and it's about compromise, and it's about a certain energy in the world. And when I do solo stuff, it's not really about that.
Yeah.
At all, you know. So it's more, it's just a different thing. And I think in a queer way, it's definitely much more outspoken. I mean, there's no doubt about it, you know.
Well, I thought so many people are going to identify with Cold Shoulder. I just thought it was like this great anthem for any, you know, anybody who's been in love, or what would you say, slept with, or, you know, fucked a straight girl the night before who happens to be very straight the next day, or the tranny boys, or, I mean, you know, whatever it is. It's like, it's just something for everybody, of the fluidity of all the gender and sexuality lines that, you know, we seem to be, even Oprah's discussing, you know, the fluidity of gender and sexuality lines. So, you know, we've it's become mainstream now, but
incredible.
If anybody should give us an anthem, it should be Amy Ray. So kudos to you for that. Do you think that your Indigo Girl fans have followed you to your solo career, or is there a whole new fan base that has come to the solo Amy Ray?
It's a, I'd say it's a smaller, a significantly smaller fan base, but I think there's definitely some, there's some Indigo Girl crossover. It's not, I can tell from just talking to fans and seeing who's at my solo shows that it's definitely not everybody's cup of tea, and there's a lot of Indigo fans that just don't like it, which is totally fine with me. Like, I just don't mind at all. Like, I don't take that personally. But I do need to, I do realize that I have to sort of find my own fan base in some ways, you know, and so that's just kind of, I don't really think about it that much. I just kind of do what I do, and but I just, it's, I recognize that it's not a definite, like, given that if somebody likes the Indigo Girls, they're going to like what I do solo. I mean, that's, in fact, that's the point, you know.
Yeah.
If it was the same, it wouldn't be, I wouldn't be doing it, you know. So
yeah.
I'm trying to do something different, not just for the sake of being different, but to express another part of myself, and I can't expect everybody to like it, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an Indigo fan that leans more towards Emily, you know, more towards her songwriting, which is, you're definitely not going to, well, not definitely, but it's going to be more of a stretch, I think.
Yeah. How is the summer tour going with Emily?
Oh, great. We're having a total blast. And I want to go back and say that that the one thing about our fan base, though, that I do want to say is that they're incredibly open-minded. So in some ways, what I'm doing solo, trying to sort of do that and reach out through the Indigo community, that would not work with a lot of bands.
Yeah.
Like, it just wouldn't work. It would create dissension. It would create, like, weird feelings. But because Emily is so open and supportive and our fan base is so open, that it's kind of like this thing where people, they look at it as another experience. It's something they welcome with open arms, but they may not necessarily like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just want to say that, I mean, I can appreciate that openness. And Emily is, like, so supportive. You know, if I play a song that's going to be on the solo record, she'll say something about it on stage and, like, support it. And, you know, just, she's just, like, the best partner you can have, you know. And so, but our summer tour season's, I mean, we're excited because we have a new record coming out in February 09 that we just finished recording. And so we're really excited about that. And so things are all very fresh feeling musically right now.
Now, when you were writing for Didn't It Feel Kinder, were there songs that you thought, that's more of an Indigo Girls song that I just wrote? And, or how do you suss out what's going to maybe go on a solo? Is it always so obvious what's going to go on a solo CD and what you might bring to Emily?
Yeah, I can usually hear her in the songwriting when I'm writing something that's going to be an Indigo song. It's kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I kind of hear her voice, and I can tell that it's going to be more harmony or duo sort of focused, as opposed to like a singular voice with background harmonies. It's going to be more like kind of equal voices, and just kind of something I feel, you know. And lately, some of it's been dictated by, I'm really trying to focus on writing for Indigos in a very acoustic setting. just because that's kind of what I'm into right now as far as Indigo Girls goes, is writing, like, really acoustic songs instead of trying to, like, write the rockers.
Mm-hmm.
Just aesthetically, I'm just into that right now. But I just hear Emily. That's mostly what it is, you know? I hear her. I can tell what kind of, not exactly what she will do, but sort of where she might make it stronger. And that's kind of the way it happens.
It's like breathing with you two, right? I mean, there was something obviously from the beginning, but it can only have grown stronger in decades of working together.
You know?
It's pretty amazing. You're about to be a pseudo reality star with this new DVD that's coming out also in 2009 about your solo career. What can you tell us about that? Everybody who wants the behind the scenes.
I'm working on it.
The dirty scoop.
I'm working with an editor that in Atlanta that I really love, Jessica Teal, at a place called Artisan. And we've been working on this thing for like a year and a half, literally, like hundreds of tapes and collected bootlegs from fans and tapes from fans and tapes that I did myself and other people that I played with. And so we had to log, you know, we had somebody log in all this stuff and go through everything. But we're coming to an end. We're going to finish it probably by the end of September. I'm going to put it out next spring. Got to get it mastered and all that. But it's interviews and footage from being on tour. It's footage from touring with the Butchies, footage from touring with my band, The Volunteers. Just a bunch of live performances of songs and some fan interviews and, you know, kind of crazy stuff. And so I'm excited. It's coming out spring 2009. And right now I have some excerpts from just some live performance excerpts, kind of rough stuff that's up on YouTube and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I've never known anybody else to do that except for maybe Sophie B. Hawkins. She did a number of years ago behind her life with big surprises that came out. And I think it's a brave and kind of cool thing to do for your fans who want to see behind the velvet curtain kind of thing, you know?
Well, we'll see.
So how is the label? We'll kind of end there because people are going to be getting this new CD. It's coming out on Damon Records, which is your label. How is the label going, and what are the challenges today with having a label, and what are some of the successes and victories going on at Damon?
Well, it feels really good right now. I mean, we had one of our artists, Utah Phillips, passed away last month, and that was a big loss, but we were sort of relieved that we had put this box set out of his work before he died, because it was kind of a definitive collection and very important historically. And we had teamed up with AK Press, a media company out of California, to do that. And so that was one of those kind of sad times, but where you're also reminded that you need to archive people's work. And so that inspired me to think about that as a label, and maybe that being an important next step is to start really looking at archiving people that are, or songs that are disappearing from our lives, or people that are disappearing and things like that. So the label is, right now we're just focusing on my project, and I feel like I've been taking a step back with the label, trying to figure out the best approach to an indie label, because I kind of have this feeling right now that everybody should just be putting their own records out, not even messing around with a label. Even my own. So I'm sort of in that place where I'm just like, you know, what can I do that really is relevant as a label, that really actually helps people and doesn't, like, just take money out of their pocket? So I'm looking at that. But I'm at a really good place where I'm finally kind of figuring out, like, how the digital community works and what's important and you know, what makes sense as an independent sort of artist and as an independent label. So it feels good.
Well, it sounds like once again we're in that place where there aren't any boundaries, and it's a time for artists to be fearless, you know, not only in what they're creating, but how they're producing it.
It really is a time for artists to be fearless. It's more important now than ever, I'd say.
Well, the new CD, Didn't It Feel Kinder, is coming out on Damon Records August 5th. This will be your big summer CD, let me tell you. It is a have the top down, roll the windows down, open the sunroof, sit on in the backyard. It is an amazing, amazing CD with so many different sounds. I can definitely tell that, Amy, and congratulations on just you know, how wide you allowed yourself to go and let others take you, because it really sings through on this CD. You can visit DamonRecords.com to get the CD. I'm sure it will be in music stores as well, but we will have Damon linked on our show notes, so you can click right through there and get the new CD. Amy Ray, thanks so much for being on with me.
Thank you.
Hi there, I'm Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. The summer heat has arrived and the beaches, including the nude one, are now open, so I hope you'll pack your bags and join us for a drink on a patio here at Toronto's Gay Village. It won't be just the weather heating things up in the city this summer. Performances like Dirty Dancing, Evil Dead the Musical, and Avenue Q will be keeping things hot on stage in Toronto this summer. Visit www.seetorontonow.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
So, Kelly, thank you for stepping in briefly tonight. I know it's just been a little quick show with you. Normally you get to do a couple of them with me, but I'm glad to have you back.
Always a pleasure.
On the show, and we'll work on getting you to Nova Scotia or somewhere in the Mediterranean. That would be fun. Maybe Amy Ray would go with you and just sing with you a little bit.
That'd be nice.
You're liking the new CD. I know you are.
That would be fun. Because,
you know, we have it, but everybody else has to wait till September 5th to get your Amy Ray CD.
Lucky, lucky you.
Lucky,
lucky me. Again.
Yes, free again. Lucky, lucky me. Free again. Only those who love Sandra Bernhardt will know what that is.
Woo, Greg Friday would know.
Yep, Sandra Bernhardt coming to Chicago as well in October. But hey, I want to, this is kind of a bit of a shameless plug. Not only are we plugging Amy Ray's new CD that's about to come out next week, or not next week, sorry. It's coming out soon. Kelly's play, which you can go see this week or next week. But on August 25th, I'm going to start buzzing about a benefit night here in Chicago. It's called Flip Flop 2, and it's a...
It's not about sandals or footwear.
It's not, but it's our end of the summer benefit. Flip Flop.
Flip Flop.
It's our end of the year benefit, summer benefit for the About Face Youth Theater, where Chicago's brightest cabaret and musical theater stars... all flip-flop songs in the night of cabaret. And this year the theme is movie musicals or movie songs. And all the men sing songs normally sung by women. All the women sing songs normally sung by men. It's going to be one night only, Monday, August 25th at Sidetrack. It's only $40. Every dollar of that goes to the About Face Youth Theater. Plus you're going to get two cocktails and an entry into our raffle. And let me just tell you, there are some amazing people performing. I will be hosting the event. Amy Armstrong and Freddie Allen are performing. Aunt Lola Cabana, many of you may know. Christopher Cusack, Heidi Kettering, and Stanton Nash, who play Fiero, Nessa Rose, and Bach in Wicked. We have the woman who's playing Baby in the brand new production of Dirty Dancing singing with us. Elizabeth Laidlaw, many of you know her as Xena. In the Xena Live shows, Tom Michael, fabulous cabaret performer, Liz Pasek, Stephen Rader, one of our co-hosts. I mean, Stephen Rader. The list goes on and on and on.
Well, it doesn't go on and on.
It does. I could name eight more people. It goes on and 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 on. Was that eight? I don't know. It's really going to be a big fun night. So it's an early evening. It's kind of a happy hour.
What are you singing?
I'm not going to tell. I might be doing a little something with you or Baby from Dirty Dancing. I don't know which.
You should just keep her in a corner the whole night. Wouldn't that be funny?
I should put Baby in a corner.
Just the whole night.
The
whole
night.
And then she'll
night.
Pop out.
That would be funny.
That would be cute.
Oh, my God. I'm going to put you in my corner.
Oh, that's. I'm always in your corner.
I like you in my corner. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Patrick Swayze had it wrong. Nobody puts the baby in the corner. He has a lisp. You should listen to it. Rewind
he does
it.
Not have a lisp.
He has a lisp. He says, nobody put the baby in a corner.
Really?
Yeah.
You watch that a lot, huh?
Yeah, I did watch it a lot.
But please go out. I saw Flip Flop last year. I had a bunged up neck. But
you
came and supported.
Massive pain. You were in massive pain. If
you
could have been on
massive
drugs, you would have been. We didn't have any, but you weren't on any.
But it was really fantastic, and $40 is...
It's nothing.
A small pittance to help the About Face Youth Theater, and they're really fantastic. It's just a fantastic night out, and lots of great entertainment.
Well, you're never going to have that many people. People from Jersey Boys, Wicked, Dirty Dancing, and all these Chicago musical theater and cabaret people all singing in 1 2-hour chunk on one night. It's so unique. You know, it's so much fun.
The opposite gender song, which is...
Which you never get to do.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Which is totally queer and the point.
Exactly.
Exactly. Just like our queer cast. So we'll be back the next queer cast. Mitchell Fain is here. I cannot wait to hear all his stories. He's sleeping. He's dormant right now. We have him sleeping
as
in his
is our
cave,
dog.
As is our dog. But
do you ever talk about Nilla on the podcast?
Oh, Nilla's been on the podcast, honey. You don't listen to enough of these shows. Sometimes she just bow wows.
Yeah.
We just keep it there.
It's lovely.
It is lovely.
She's tuckered.
Let's go walk the dog.
All right.
We'll see you next time. And
Next time.
And Mitchell Fain will be with us. I can't wait to hear his stories.
I know. It's going
to
be fun. Inspiration
to let the next life off the hook.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and